And I'm not a mom, but I can get a, I gain a glimpse of the joy that mothers must have when they look at their little child, and the frustration too sometimes. So when I'm home, my sister loves saying, "Do you want to babysit?" And I happily agree. But I also lived in California for a little bit. Went to master's college for my biblical counseling degree. Worked at Grace Church, their counseling ministry. Okay. And also lived in, let's see, after East Coast, West Coast, moved to the middle in Louisville, Kentucky. And that's where I studied my MDiv and PhD at Southern Seminary. Anyone from there? Okay. And now I'm in Indianapolis. So God has led me to quite a bit of a journey from east, west, middle. And it's been a good journey. And I'm so glad to be in Indianapolis now. How did I get into BC? Well, basically, I actually studied business undergraduate, and God provided a wonderful job at this really big consulting company, and I thought, this is my dream job, and I'm so thankful, and I'm just going to work here and be faithful at church. And then, do you know how it feels when you pray, God, would you really allow this to happen, and God allows it to happen, and then you realize, okay, this is not exactly what I thought it would be like? Well, that was me. I thought, this is a dream job, and I thought, praise God, and it wasn't that I wasn't happy, but it wasn't my passion. And I also lost two colleagues in the Pentagon when 9/11 happened. So, and one of the men, I respected him so much, and it made me think about, is this what I want to do for the next 10 years of my life? And my conscience would never let me say yes. And so in college, I would always lecture to people, well, you shouldn't pursue a job just because it has lots of money. Do what you're passionate about. So I thought I should follow my own advice. And I knew that I couldn't be a pastor, so because I wanted to do ministry. So, and then I realized, what can I do as a woman? And someone said, oh, have you heard about biblical counseling? I said, no, what's that? And I went up and I heard Jay Adams was supposed to teach, but he was ill, so Wayne Mack taught. And I said, oh, well, I want to be trained in this. Can you tell me what I should do next? And of course, he's not biased or anything. He said master's college. And so off I went to there, and it was one of the sweetest times in my life. And I learned a lot about the Bible. I went to a Bible, strong Bible teaching church. My pastor would exegete, even in youth group, Friday nights, we'd go through Old Testament, New Testament. It was like seminary on Friday nights. And so I knew a lot about the Bible, but if you asked me, what does the Bible say about anxiety? What does the Bible say about depression? I probably wouldn't say much, know what else to say, but you pray and trust God, which is not wrong and bad, but there's so much more wisdom in God's word. And so I'm thankful for the training I've received in biblical counseling. And I pray that all of you feel much more equipped and confident in knowing how to give good counsel. Okay, so my topic here is helping singles embrace their singleness. Well, first of all, I want to tell you that I didn't choose that word embrace in my title here. So I cannot tell you that I'm going to help you or help you help someone else embrace their singleness. I believe that's something that only God can do, obviously. But I looked it up. What does embrace mean? And there's this picture that comes up. Embrace has this picture of this, where you're really embracing it. And one of the dictionaries says, for embraces, where you accept or support a belief, theory, situation willingly and enthusiastically. And I'm not sure if we can say that we would embrace, maybe willingly, but not perhaps enthusiastically. Yay, I'm single, yay! Not in that sense. So, or some of you who are married might be thinking, yay, but anyways. So the grass is always greener on both sides. By the way, I ran into Martha Peace this morning for breakfast, and I told her, she said, what are you going to talk about? I said, I'm going to help singles embrace their singleness. And we laughed about that. And she said, well, and she's counseled, I know, she's counseled so many more years than I have. She's such a seasoned biblical counselor, and she said, you know what? I've counseled a lot of women, and I find there's two categories. There's women who are single and they want to be married, and there's women who are married and they want to be single. And I thought, all right. So that's the end of my presentation, everyone. you're either one or the other. No. But I know what she's saying, is that the grass is always green on the other side. So wherever we are in this spectrum of life, it always seems that the other person seems to have it better than us, perhaps, or a better situation. But I do believe that maybe I can't say how you can embrace singleness, but I do believe that God's will, God's desire is for us to be content in whatever circumstances that he has put us in. And so I do want to talk more about that today. First of all, you know, just being teaching in college a lot, I can't help but ask a little quiz. So how many of you, raise your hand, how many of you think I'm between 20 and 25? All right. Oh, I feel good. Okay, good. How many of you think I'm between 25 and 30? Okay. Oh, I feel good still. Okay. How many of you think I'm between 30 and 35? Okay, good. All right, so you guys are the winners, the A-plus group. I'm 35 years old, and I'm going to be 36 in a few months. I just thought I'd share that because most of my students think I'm their age, and so I do want to let you know. So I've been single. Let's start with singleness, because most people get married, let's say, after college, which is what, 21 years old? So I've been single for about 15 years, and so 15 years, not that I'm counting or anything. All right. Okay. So, but can I be honest? I've had a lot of friends who've really struggled with singleness. And by God's grace, I haven't terribly struggled with singleness. And I'm being honest. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a little bit. But I did struggle about, you know, my singleness. It was probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I was asked to contribute a chapter on singles in family ministry, the church, because when we think about family ministry, we usually think about married people. But what does it mean for singles? And so, like a good researcher, I read all these books on singleness and all these blogs on singleness like I've never done in my whole life. And can I say that was probably the hardest time in my life where I questioned, did I make the right decision? Should I have said yes to him, like some guy from 7 years ago? Or, you know, the regrets. Or was I not aggressive enough? Aggressive in the sense of, was I not open enough? Was I not doing my part enough? Was I too passive? Was I just saying, oh, I just trust God, but I'm not going to do anything? So I have to say that 1 month period a few years ago, I struggled. I questioned, but I don't regret that time because it was good for me to examine my heart and to address questions that I probably wouldn't have if I didn't read all these blogs and books. So I just want to let you know, I think there's wisdom in reading these books and blogs, but I think we also have to be careful of being overly consumed by it, because we need to take our thoughts captive, right? But sometimes these good intentions by these authors and whatnot are helpful, but sometimes it can lead to a road of self-doubt and a road of questioning God's sovereignty. So, and the reason why I probably have not struggled as much was because I was exposed to a strong pastor in my youth ministry and his wife, and they just really nailed it in us that you should really wait until you meet that godly man or godly woman for the guys in our group. And they also exemplified it, and I thought, I want to have a marriage like that. I want to be a wife like her. I want to be a mom. But they always impressed it upon us not to rush this important decision, because it's one of the most important decisions in your life. So with that, I think it really helped me to not think about, oh, I need to get married right after college, and I need to live this way or that way, until I went to seminary, and then I found out almost everyone got married at 25 years old or something, so. All right. So next part, let's see. Let's do the introduction. Or, oh, actually, I do want to do this, though.